Thank you for tuning in to Hacks and Hobbies with your host, Junaid. We're visited by our amazing guests coming from all walks of life. Want to learn their story, their struggles, and their journey on how they got to where they are today. So stick around. Welcome back to Hacks and Hobbies. Today, we're joined by someone who knows how to take businesses from stuck to scaling. Stewart Irwin is the founder of Bracket Management and the creator of the Built to Run the $100 Million System, trademarked. An execution-first operating system that's helped companies grow revenue by 36% and net profit by nearly 28% on average. For over 25 years, he's led in finance, operations, and manufacturing, and now he's on a mission to help founder-led businesses stop spinning their wheels and start actually running. Stewart, welcome to the show. So excited to have you here.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate you having me.
You know, Stewart, you've built a career across finance, operations, manufacturing, leadership. What pulled you into creating your own system, and why focus on execution over endless planning?
Yeah, I somewhat kind of staggered into it. So again, my background started in operations and then quickly moved into finance. And the reality was about 15 years ago when I was working in the corporate world, I was assigned to going into suppliers that were not supporting the program. So I worked for aerospace programs. And I started to learn that I had a knack for going into situations that were not so pleasant or less than, and was able to get these companies turned around and supporting the program. So that really started when I was super young. So I knew at 13 years old, I wanted to go in the business. My dad started a business. I started at the bottom and worked my way to the top. At the time, I didn't understand why, you know, or what was going on, but I was really learning a playbook. And so I'd go into these companies and I'd start thinking, wait a minute, I remember when we had this issue, we did that. And I started doing that over and over and over again. And then fast forward 5 years in 2015, one of those companies that was in trouble actually said, you know what, I want to sell my business. And I really like the way you operate. I like that you have a finance brain along with operations, but my business is in big trouble. I'm heavily reliant on one particular client and I need to diversify. So I want you to come run my business. I'm going to go sell and help diversify. And I'll be wanting to turn this business around. So I did it. And then I did it again and again. And one of the larger turnarounds I completed was back in 2019 timeframe. And the one guy came to me and said, how in the heck? We've dealt with these problems for 10 years and you came in like 90 days and got us turned around. And I said, well, I've got the playbook. Once you learn all the inputs and outputs, it's pretty easy to walk in and say, here's your problem. Let's make it happen. And so that's when I realized, you know what, I kind of got something here, and decided to launch Bracket. So a little backstory, Bracket really was started in 2009 with a college buddy of mine who we started the business as, we said, we run the business for you. So we would work with painters and remodeling guys and whatnot. And we'd run all their marketing, finance, help with operations, so on and so forth. We actually shelved it back in 2010. So when I realized I had that playbook, I said, you know what, I'm going to relaunch Bracket. And so that's what I decided to do. Nice. And my goal was to get out and help entrepreneurs before they had to call me, right, as a consultant to come in and get them fixed and turned around. And that's really where we kind of jumped off from.
Dude, that's really powerful and really inspiring, because you started at a very young age working with your dad and the company from the bottom up. And that kind of shows you all the moving parts inside a company, because you're not sitting on top, you know, trying to move big pieces. You're actually in the weeds and you see what's moving and what's working and what's not working, and the culture probably also of the company, right? So all of those things come together. It helps you realize what was missing. Talk to me about what were some early lessons that shaped the way you see business differently now.
Yeah, so it's like when you're in it, you don't realize the information you're gaining, right? When I was young, I was frustrated that I wasn't growing quicker, right? And so I actually was just at a CFO mastermind group, and I was saying that I really was first introduced to finance when I was a supply chain guy. So I had just graduated from college. I was getting my MBA, and I thought I was being hired as a buyer. Well, part of this process before you bring on suppliers were you had to do a financial analyst. I mean, analyze their financials and to make sure they were a healthy company. If you really wanted to bring them on, then you had to, you know, if they were struggling financially, you had to help them get there, right? And so that's one of the early lessons I learned, that, you know, the ops and finance really kind of worked hand in hand together. And just because you're a supply chain guy doesn't mean that you were immune and never dealt with the finance piece. And that early on is when I started realizing that how the entire business is a chain. And so many people look at kind of just sections of their business or fragments of their business.
Yeah.
But the reality is these businesses that operate really smooth and profitable, they have all the links of the chain put together. So that was, you know, back in 2005.
Mm-hmm.
So almost 20 years ago is when I really started understanding how everything linked together. Again, I had spent 10 years growing up in the business and it never really put two and two together. So that was really something I learned early on, is the importance of linking everything together.
You know, Stuart, that's so powerful. And understanding those links, interlinks around how everything works, like our human body, right? We have so many differences, so many systems in it, that if one system goes down, guess what? The entire body is not functioning. We can't breathe. We can't, you know, your heart's not moving. You know, all of those things are interconnected. So business, I would think, works very similarly. If one system fails, everything else is going to also fail. So I love that you were able to discover that, you know, so long ago, how things connected and worked together. Now, was there a defining moment or enough is enough moment that made you design the built to run model?
Again, I think it was that moment in time where this is it's a company that once was operating at close to $75 million a year. They had gone backwards to $60 million. Their on-time delivery, again, this is manufacturing, their on-time delivery was like 50%. So they really were in trouble, right? And so when I went on site there and, again, really had them turned around in about 90 days. So we had erased all their past dues. We had really started to bolster and started gaining confidence on the sales side. And when that guy came to me and said, "We have dealt with this for 5 or 6 years. How did you do it so fast?"
Yeah.
That's when it really clicked in my brain. And I told him, I said, "Look, business is a series of inputs and outputs. I mean, you have demand and there's a series of inputs to the demand cycle that feeds the supply cycle, that feeds the execution, so on and so forth. And if you can understand the 5 or 6 inputs and how that is output through the entire value stream, typically you can walk in and say, here is your issue." And it really was that point that I said, you know what? I really do have a playbook here, because I had executed it time and time and time again. Mm. And I realized that partner this with a good strategy and you could really do a lot with small businesses. And so I spent a lot of time fine tuning the strategic side of what we offer and the play to built to run system. And I thought, man, this would help so many small businesses. And so at that point, as I kind of made the decision, it's time to try to launch this out and help as many small businesses as we can.
I love that, Stuart. Now let's move on to the $100 million system mindset, right? You often say, don't pitch theory, and because you build systems. Can you break down what operator's mindset really means in practice?
Yeah. And then so we kind of go back into, you have to have all the links of the chain together. And so we really start with, right out of the box, it's really a 3-phase approach. The very first thing you want to do is you want to make sure your financials are pristine, right? Mm-hmm. We really need to understand where you truly operate as a business. 90% of the companies we walk into, their financials are a wreck, right? Some of them may be directionally correct. Some of them are just absolutely not there at all. So step one, before we move forward, we fix your financials. So we really know how healthy is the business. Based off of the health of the business, we either go into like a triage mode and say, hey, man, you're in big trouble. We got to kind of do some recovery efforts here and we need to knock it out quick. If the business is not in trouble, then we kind of keep going forward with it. But we really look at a variety of things. And so we set up, we need to understand, again, you kind of referenced it earlier, the culture. What's the culture of the business? Is it really led by the founder and the founder led and everyone operates based on that individual? Is it more of a hierarchy structure where it's delegated and people kind of really know where they belong? And if they don't, then we put together a people plan to make sure mm-hmm. that everybody knows their job description. They have a task. They have a measure in regards to are they winning or losing. So now you've got your financials in line. You have your people somewhat understanding what they do. They know how yeah. they're getting paid. And everything works out great there. We really do a lot in regards to personality assessments to make sure, hey, do you have the right personalities in the right seats? So it's all of that stuff, again, building out the foundations that you're going to use now to start to scale your business. The other key part that we really focus on is communication, right? People's imaginations are the worst thing. So if you got clean financials, people know what they're supposed to be doing. They know how they're getting paid.
Yeah.
Now we need to make sure that there's a clear communication channel that as we start to make changes and grow this business, that really everyone understands who, what, when, and where. So we put up a meeting cadence and a communication strategy and plan. We launched that. All of the things in phase one really centers around the foundations of a healthy business. Those are the things that you know you're going to need in place in order to grow.
Yeah.
Once that's done, we kind of move into phase two. Phase two sets more your forward-looking approach, right? So we start working on forecasting. We come up with annual plans and budgets, and then we start driving the business through a series of monthly reviews, monthly meetings. We do strategic assessments and quarterlies to always make sure that the company is meeting their objectives. And if they're not, what are they doing to make changes to make that happen? And all of that is focused on, again, just healthy business practices, great communication, always having a forward target and moving your business forward. Once you lock in phase one and phase two, then we focus heavily on value creation through pricing strategies, cost reduction strategies, and new business growth. And those are the only three ways that I'm aware of that you really can grow your bottom line. And so if you really look at it, it's incremental changes in all three of those buckets really create a pretty dynamic impact to your bottom line. So again, phase one, let's get the business healthy. Phase two, let's set you up to get ready to run. Phase three is all about focus on strategy and those three value drivers.
And that's so powerful. And you've kind of broken down in the perfect trinity, or so have you, or trifecta of things that need to come together, right, to make that system really hum and be profitable, be efficient, and, you know, all of the fun, all of the good things that people look forward to when they, like when they're starting a business, they have that vision in their mind that they could get there. And you've designed a system that helps them get there with the three-phase approach. Now, what's really cool is where you led us directly into the next segment of value creation at the core, right? At the heart of your system, you've got this belief. Value only comes from pricing, cost control, and new business growth. Why those three and not a dozen other KPIs that leaders get stuck on?
Yeah, so if you just think about it, right, to have proper pricing, that means you really need to understand your dynamics of your cost, right? Mm-hmm. So and when you look at a machine shop, they need to understand what their shop rate is. Their shop rate in labor burden rate, plus their overhead rate. If you don't know the cost associated with any of that, then you're somewhat guessing. So we made a major turnaround in a machine shop in regards to they were charging X amount of dollars per hour, which was pretty much double what the market rate could stand. And they couldn't understand why they couldn't grow their business. And so the very first thing we did is walked in there. Once we had clean financials, we understood what our overhead costs were. Mm-hmm. And we now understood where our direct labor costs were. So we were able to fine tune those rates to now understand what it truly cost us. And therefore we can put together a strategy to go acquire a business. And we added about $10 million worth of work in a year. Wow. Now what you do is now you perform on-time delivery, 100% quality. You get that customer so reliant on you that you start doing incremental cost increases. So for every dollar of price, incremental price increases, for every dollar of price that flows directly to the bottom line. Because you're controlling your cost, you're controlling your labor, and everything, again, is very tight. So for every dollar of additional price flows directly to the bottom line. Same thing goes on the cost side, right? Every dollar you save directly to the bottom line. It's a no-brainer. It's easy. What trips a lot of people up sometimes is the new business side of things. And so what you're looking for is you're trying to make sure you're gaining profitable new business. not all business is good business. And so if you think back what we've built out, now you have a financial system that you can truly understand what your margins are. If you're operating at a 25% margin world and an opportunity comes to you at 10% margin, you can say, you know what, am I diluting my business in order to gain this new business? And you can make the decision as to whether you want to take that on or not. Yeah. But the goal is to always be sure you're pricing yourself in a way to at least cover your margins or do better. The beauty about new business is it allows you to continue to gain business that in the future you can add price to. Your business is going to scale. That's going to allow you to now have economies of scale to drive your costs down. And so, again, it's a trifecta where they all three work in concert together to make sure you're always increasing your bottom line from a year-over-year perspective.
Man, I love that. I love the analogy, and I love the different aspects of cost control, savings, and new business that we're bringing in, because it, again, when you have those inputs and outputs defined, you're like, okay, where is this new person coming on? Do I have an acquisition cost associated with the new customer? What's my business? And I think when you have these numbers in place, then you can say, okay, we can spend this much budget on marketing to acquire those new customers or not, right? Or you do a different referral program. You know, there's so many different ways that the businesses can bring in that new growth. I love the breakdowns and the clarity that you've provided here. Now, how do you convince leaders to stop chasing those shiny objects and focus here? Because, you know, we love our shiny objects. We love the shiny new things. And it creates a motivational thing. It creates, you know, some kind of passion, addiction. I don't know. You talk to me. How do you convince leaders to focus?
Yeah. So when we bring on a new client, we really do a 2-day onboarding, and it's very, very focused, right? But a lot of it we learn about the business in the discovery call, right? When we have that hour long conversation regards to, I need to learn as much as I can about what you're dealing with. What have you tried that's failed? You really start to understand, okay, why is this client calling me and needing some assistance? So from there, you immediately start into a strategy. And again, when we do our 2-day onboarding, it's very structured, right? So we do a quick SWOT analysis. We do a quick core process. So I'm a Lean Six Sigma black belt, right? So we do a swim lane process. And in that, you just start identifying, hey, we have these problems here. We hit on the pain points. So we know in the discovery call what the business owner is dealing with. And so we have a series of tools that we do in the 2-day onboarding that just enlightens, okay, here's why you're having this problem. Do you see, do you see, do you see, do you see? And then in that we launch into, we have our staff meetings that are set every week. Mm-hmm. And we do our key objectives, right? We find 5 to 7 key top things that we want to focus on as a business. And we, as an agreement, as a leadership team, we all agree on those 5 to 7 things. I just had a conversation yesterday with a guy who we've been working with for about a year. And I had to say, look, dude, you agreed to these 5 to 7. Why are you over here doing this? So it isn't perfect, but you now have a framework to say, hey, please come back and work on what we talked about. So that's really how we do it, right? It's all through the discovery call, through the onboarding, and through those core process analysis and the SWOT analysis that identify gaps. And I do my best to coach of why that is a gap. And they go, many times their eyes are like, holy crap, I didn't realize that. Now I see. And then we boil that down into the top 5 to 7 deals. So we use something called an impact effort assessment. And I train on that. And I say, okay, let's focus on the top 5 to 7 issues that will have the highest impact with the least amount of effort. So when you put a number to it, it's not an opinion, right? It's a data-driven decision.
Yeah.
And again, it just makes it easier to get the business owner to focus in, because it ain't, well, Stuart said it was. No, it's what the assessment would tell you it is. And so those are all the tools that we use to try to, again, align it. We focus on it in our weekly calls, but it is not easy, because these guys, as you know, they are all over the place.
Yes, they are, and I can relate, right? I'm in a business where I'm all about the shiny object, right? Building studios and getting them in front of camera. Now, a lot of people are like, well, that's a shiny object, I'm not going to spend on it. But if you think about it long-term investment-wise, it's something that's going to help them stand out from their competitors. It's going to help them stand out on the stage and help them secure that thought leadership. So it's good to learn, okay, what are the different angles that we can look at when we're creating a business, or we are in the business of the shiny object space.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Stuart, what happens when a business finally listens and gets these three things right?
Yeah, so the first thing that starts to happen is the business owner will feel a sense of relief. Because a lot of times those guys have carried the load. Again, if they have called me, typically it's they've hit some type of a ceiling. They've either gone backwards or they've just reached a point where they're 100% uncomfortable and they just don't know what to do. Yeah. And so what I like to tell people is, you know, at Bracket, our goal is to walk hand in hand, shoulder to shoulder, arm in arm with the business owner and to make your life easier. So the first thing they feel is relief, like, holy smokes, this is what I've been looking for. That's great. Mm-hmm. Second thing that you really start to understand is now you have your culture starts to change and you see a change in demeanor with your employees, because a lot of times they sense the frustration and the concern that the business owner has. Yes, and they've taken on that identity as well. They're frustrated, they're concerned, they're like, man, we're not moving forward. What's going to happen? So now you get a little bit of confidence in the owner. Mm-hmm. It flows down into clarity and confidence in the employees. Inherently, you're just starting to put together clean business practices. And yeah. So when you really focus in again on those value drivers, you have personal gain, which is in health and spiritual, so on mm-hmm. and so forth. You see your turnover decrease. You see an improvement in culture. And then all of a sudden your numbers follow through because, again, you've got an aligned business. And then you see an increase in your profits, which is the ultimate goal.
I love that, Stuart. This is so powerful, increasing profits. And I've talked with multiple people over the years and seen businesses that were struggling. They're trying to find a footing to have a huge team that they can't support or not able to support because there's no new businesses coming down. And we can get into more details as we go into part two. Thank you so much, Stuart. You've set the stage perfectly from operator's mindset to the core principles behind Built to Run. In part two, we'll get into the how, the six core plays that align teams, tighten numbers, and turn chaos into rhythm. Now, guys, if you've ever wished your business could finally run without constant rework, you will want to catch this next episode. Stuart, any last words for our audience and where they can connect with you?
Yeah, the biggest thing is there's help, right? In the world of fractional executives today, it really is, there's options out there if you're struggling to reach out to someone. Again, Bracket's motto is fractional impact, exponential results, and that is the reality, right? So there's so many options and opportunities out there for people to do a tailored approach to help you as little or as much as you want to. Just don't give up, right? There's people who have been there, you know, been down the same road you've been down, and they can help you, right? Again, there's other people who have playbooks just like me, and so you'd be surprised at what reaching out would do. So again, if you want to get in contact with me, I'm most active on LinkedIn, but you can also check out my website at bracketmgmt.com.
I love it, Stuart. Thank you so much, and we'll see you in part two.
Awesome. Thank you.
Guys, stick around. We're just getting warmed up with this episode. And in part two, we're going to go deeper into how all of these things come together. With Stuart, thanks, and we'll see you in the next episode.
Thank you so much for taking the time to listen to this episode on Hacks and Hobbies. We absolutely appreciate your contribution. You can find additional notes on hacksandhobbies.com. Please share the podcast with your friends and tell them what you learned about our guest today.